This is a lecture and auditing demonstration by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 18th of December, 1952. The title is How to Talk About Scientology. This lecture and auditing demonstration is 62 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Arrow Productions.
This is the third hour afternoon lecture. It's December the 18th. The graph which you see up here is a graph demonstrating present time and third part of the graph we have here. And it, all it is just the amount of energy a person uses to think. That'd be the lowest level on this picture. Amount of energy a person uses to think. Of course, a person does not use energy with which to think. That is the essence of nonsense. Because if a person uses energy to think, a person can only think then with facsimiles. And how can he only think with facsimiles? Well, because if he uses energy to think, all he's doing is introducing automaticity. He throws out a little energy beam, and that re-stimulates something or other, and then that tells him what to think. And that's the way he gets into this. He starts trusting his facsimiles and experience rather than trusting his ability to be. So he's up there on a gradient scale. We see well into the future there, no energy, no E. There isn't any energy there used to think. A person postulates. A person decides. Decision. There is no higher decision than just saying so. You say so, and it's going to be true, so therefore you say so. Now, there are a lot of little sneaking tricks a person plays on himself and says, well, that wouldn't be any fun if you just said it was the case, and then it turned out to be the case. There wouldn't be anything to expect, you see, and therefore I wouldn't get any... Oh, what a trick. That is just a trick, by the way. It isn't the case. When a person gets up to a point where he starts to think with no energy, boy, things really start to get smooth. And he starts to enjoy things in a calm, beautiful way. And he can introduce all kinds of random. His interest level gets very high. His interest level's very high. He doesn't have much liability for anything. But then he falls into these various tricks. He has an experience, and this experience, quote, teaches him, unquote, something. And in being taught something, he is in a state whereby he will then use the experience instead of acting. And so he goes down tone scale and he starts using a light amount of energy to think. He wants it to flick over to that old facsimile over there that he's got, and that'll flick back in a certain way, and then that will square him up in some other way. And he gets it all worked out whereby he will now be prevented from leaving a situation in one condition when it should be in another condition, and he's figured out some kind of a method to use force on himself in order to be sure that he complies with the rules. He may have probably made these rules to that extent, and he's complying with his own rules, or somebody else and himself, and they're not very savage rules. Then he drifts down scale, which is back toward present time, and he'd use more and more energy with which to think. That is to say, use facsimiles more and more. Instead of using just little locks and things like that to think with now, he uses a little heavier brand of facsimiles. Life has not been good to him. Life hasn't been good to him indeed. How could life be anything to him? He is life. So, he's starting to reverse. And when he gets into present time, of course, present time is a consistent and continuously existing equation which this is the solution of the interdependency balance of all dynamics as represented at this instant for your future look at things. Of course, present time itself becomes something one needs. He has to have the solution of all eight dynamics at any moment in order to get himself a higher level. See? I mean, he's already said, look, the eight dynamics are not myself. I couldn't be eight dynamics. I need to be informed by eight other dynamics of some sort or another as to the existing state. Now, the first dynamic informs me very easily by pouring my own facsimiles in on me. And the second dynamic informs me with equal ease by demonstrating to me the existence of this sensation. And the third dynamic tells me this because here are all these people, and I am in agreement with them, and they're in agreement with me. And so on, we go on up the line. Now, here are all these eight dynamics then. And this is present time, messed universe. Any given instant of interrelationship of is present time. Solution. The solution is represented in a solid, more or less mathematical form. It's as though you had an enormous electronic computer which had an enormous number of data being fed to it, almost at random, continually, and it was bringing out what the balance was at this instant. And that balance is in your hands at any instant. That's the balance of havingness. And the more worried you are about that balance of havingness, the closer you are to it. And some people will get a thirst for it to be terribly real. And they get this thirst for it to be real. That means, my God, I sure have to inspect that solution all the time. I just have to keep my feet right on that solution. You get somebody, the poet, he's going up the street, his body is starving, he's in terrible condition financially, any other condition you can think of is liable to be visited on him at any moment. What's he doing? He's going up the street composing a poem that has to do with something he saw down the street. And the world comes along, and they look at him, they say, look at that fellow, he's in rags, he's this way, he's that way, something or other. He, by the way, is less perishable than the much solider citizenry. A song can racket down the ages. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't have to be polished, maintained, oiled, shelved, or put in the vault. It happens that a song is far more powerful than any blaster ever invented. Wanted to write a story one time about a fellow, an alleged son of Genghis Khan, who took a town with a song when the Khan had failed. The only thing you really remember about the great conquerors is a song somebody wrote about them. The thought was the poet's. And the solid citizen says, now look, we sweep you away. It's so easy. We throw you in the Bastille. We do this, we do that, we do something or other with this mess of yours. You see, now we can do this to you, and we can do that to you, and you see, and he just doesn't see at all. Voltaire writes a very polite letter to the people who threw him in the Bastille for a year because he had been waiting and working and having an awful time trying to find the time in order to write one of his better works. And he discovered in jail the calm and peace necessary to devote to this time. So he wrote them, and he was probably quite sincere about it. It didn't worry him. They couldn't do anything much to his mess that put him in any very permanent state of disrepair. And he was in a condition of mind where he didn't use very much energy to think. And a fellow does quote good thinking or quote good solutions about to the rate that he doesn't use any energy in the line. Just about in that ratio. The best solution is simply a postulate. What is a better solution on the whole problem of light than to be able to say, let there be light? And there's light. No real reason why there had to be light, by the way. That would make a solution necessary. Why people ask about why all the time and demand that we have a reason for everything is a very simple thing, you see. They've got to have a reason, because they've got to have the solution, because the penalty is so great, and there is present time, and they're holding grimly on to present time. Well, as they drift back to present time, they're all right. They're at least standing around saying, what's the solution? 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 I don't see it very well. I wish I could see it better. I wish I could see it much better, but I can't see it very much better. But if I could just see it a little bit better, or I'm really bored with it, of course, I need the solution all the time, but I don't quite know what to do with it. Let's see, how solid is the lamppost, how solid is the sidewalk, how solid are the walls, how solid is the bread that we're going to eat tonight? Well, yes, I'm going to eat tonight. I'll have to eat. That's present time. That'll keep me going. That's right, having this, agree, disagree, want, not need. All goes on the monitor of how much he needs, isn't it? I told a producer one time that my leisure time was worth $700 a week. He fainted. He almost literally did faint. Any salary drawn would have to be in excess of that, because that was the price of leisure. He couldn't figure this out. Maybe you can. It makes good sense to me. It makes very good sense to me. There's no use working at all, I figured, on a job that one didn't have much of his heart in. It was better to have nothing to do. Up to $700 a week, and that was the level of havingness which would make it interesting. Now, you can actually plot pay that way. You can simply ask yourself, let's see now, I wonder what, how long I'm interested in this preclear, therefore I'll do this preclear for nothing. Or I'm interested in having a few things. Or I'm interested in buying a few things so I won't have to have some other things. Solutions. And therefore I'll have this preclear for 3 hours. And I don't want the preclear for 3 hours, so therefore I'll have to bring it up to a level which makes it interesting to me to have the preclear for 3 hours. Don't omit that. Don't ever consign yourself to a drudgery. Because when the interest isn't there, it's just drudgery. There isn't any reason why you have to do anything. Now, the energy used to think by the psychotic is, of course, no personally manufactured energy at all. It's just glue of energy once used. And he's just got it all pulled in on him like mad. And of course he obeys only the commands in it. 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 It says not do, it says do. He does. That's all there is to it. Energy potential. Well, let's look at that then, and let's find out that you're going up toward no energy to think. When you're going up to postulates. When you're going up to postulate processing, when you say postulate processing, you're processing somebody toward future. Well, of course, you don't think in the future. If you're in relationship to the solution, which is present time, you say, now let's see, let me think, I don't know whether my car will be outside or not, or whether or not I could possibly drive or not drive in some other direction, but if I go down to some other direction and do something or other, then so on. But if I did that, why, that's this stream of consciousness or lack of energy to think. Tonight, I shall dine at the Russian Pentagon building or something. You just say that, you see. Now, if you're hot enough on this line, it will come true inevitably, because 10 minutes before you eat, you will make it. It'll appear. You get the idea? Therefore, you go up on positive processing, making your own universe. You're completely independent of present time solution. Don't let anybody kid you that your interest in existence is dependent upon the present time solution, because it's not. most of the things a person is clinging to in the present time solution are not important, because the present time solution has a habit of being very, very badly upset and erronified.
You see, the Russians are about to attack you at any minute. The United States is about to attack you at any minute. The amount of bank banditry in Little Keokuk on the 2nd of January has averaged out to the figure of 0.7623. Well, you don't even have any money in a bank. What are you interested in the bank account for? 8 robbers were shot today on Rop Rop Avenue. So what? You weren't on Rop Rop Avenue. But you take that in as estimate of the situation. Are we going to have more robbers or less robbers? It looks like we're going to have more robbers, but the cops said there'd be less robbers. Therefore, the cops were a good thing. The cops were there. Oh, is it? In other words, present-time solution, present-time solution. What are you interested in? Well, about the level when a person has sunk to the point where they're only interested in the present-time solution is they're not interested. They're frantic. They're getting to a point where interest is being displaced by fear of penalty. And this all comes about because they use energy with which to think. That's all there is to it. And if you were to process this, just process this on a PC, it'd straighten him out and he'd feel quite a bit better. Most PCs have energy deposits around with which their energy to think is deposited. And where is that? Is that in the future? No, that's not in the future. There isn't any energy in the future. Is that in the past? No, that's not in the past. There isn't any energy in the past. Well, where is it then? Well, I will tell you where it is then. It is in present time. And it has a little sign on it and it said, this is the future. Now, the person who can't get it is resisting the future. He's trying to pull out of the future. And he's got a reverse vector going. He's more concentrated upon not having the future than he is upon having the future. And if you want him to get to this deposit, simply ask him, let's try not to have the future. Let's try to avoid seeing this deposit and so forth. You can get him back and forth. Now, you can always trick your mind, your energy levels, in this wise. You can always trick them. Very satisfactory. By saying, all right, now let's try not to make it green. You've been trying to make this green. It's impossible for you to make the green. You say, try not to make it green in order to make it green. You say, all right, we'll try not to make it green. It's green. Bang. All right, let's try not to see it. You want to see it. You know you want to see it, so you just say, try not to see it, and bomb. It'll turn up. Because that's the not have and the have. You can do those both ways. You can just say, all right, we'll pretend not to do that. Okay, that's good. We've got it now. We can go right on. And it's a method of handling things, but that only goes a very short distance before the person just simply discards it as a crutch. But if you were to ask somebody, let's take a look at your future, and they'll say, what do you mean? Well, do you have a little anything around there that when you think of the future, you see this or change this or try to make it green or black or white or something? Do you anything like that? No. Well, let's try to avoid having any future. Just get the thought of avoiding any future. Now, what do you see? Oh, what do you know? You said there is one. Yeah. Well, he's trying not to have anything there but in the future. There are things which he'd hate to have happen, and he's trying to avoid them happening. But of course, the person who is way, way, way up tone scale wouldn't have any such deposit at all. But he wouldn't be in a body either. So the mechanism in it is that anybody who can be influenced by the flows is a give, at which time you would say, try to avoid the deposit, which is the future. Try to avoid the deposit, which is the present, in thought energy. Try to avoid the deposit, which is the past, in terms of thought energy. And they'll light up like Christmas trees. And a person who is take, it lets have it. Whatever part of the cycle they're on, let's just have the future. Let's not have the future. You've got it. And what do you do with this? Well, then you turn it green, you turn it pink, you turn it yellow. And anything he can do, just keep him handling it as energy in present time, which has future labels on it, and the thing will blow up. All of a sudden, he will experience an enormous feeling of relief. Why is this energy the future? No, it's not the future. It is deposit that is labeled future, and the deposit exists in present time. Is this energy the present that he's looking at? No, it's not. It happens to be just a deposit, which he calls present time, and is in present time. And is this energy the past? Yep, it's facsimiles being carted along because he is existing in a dependent state upon his facsimiles, because he knows he has to have experience. He goes down to get a job so that he can feed the body. He has to put the body in a desk so that the body can then be paid, and then the body can eat so that it can be put at a desk, of course. And nice and circular ambition, you see. So he goes through this whole situation, and when he gets through with it, he knows very well that he has a body, and he's very definitely dependent on flows, isn't he? Well, his dependency upon flows is utter dependency on experience. Is a dependency on flows. The fellow who says, well, let's see, experience is very important, terribly important, ought to modify it this way. Experience is terribly important to people in a body who are thinking in terms of flows. Then good experience becomes extremely important, because when they put out energy in the direction of their flows, then good experience will come back in and they will do the right thing. And we have a good puppet and an excellent marionette, and this is therefore what we want. So the fellow who gets this job to put the body at a desk so the body can be paid, so that the body can eat, so that he can put it at the desk, so that it can be paid, so that he can eat, is always asked this question: how much experience do you have? Is it good experience, a bad experience, similar kind of experience, or experience, experience? They don't realize that it, somewhere in the career of everybody, you get a reversing vector. You get this fellow with wonderful references, just rave notices. He leaves with the boss's wife and all the dough in the cash drawer. If this fellow has been exceptionally good and exceptionally honest, that is the best reason in the world to believe that sooner or later this guy is going to be the foulest crook that ever lived. And it's not monitored then by experience. What they're searching for in all these factors is just this one thing, is how much energy is this person using with which to think? And if you can establish how much energy he uses to think, you will establish how important it is for him to have experience. Because if he doesn't use any energy to think at all, it's not even vaguely important for him to have experience, but boy, would he be valuable in an airplane plant. He has no experience whatsoever. He goes around to the airplane plant and he says, hey, that boy could draw down much more than any president of any corporation in the United States in terms of mess, but the trouble is nobody'd ever be able to pay him unless he was interested. The only pay would be interest. Why? Because after the plant had manufactured the airplane and had it all beautifully manufactured and everything else, they want to know whether or not this plane would fly. This fellow could simply take a look at the airplane and say, yeah, it'll fly. No, that one won't fly. That one's got something wrong with its motor. It's the lower side of its motor won't function. There were two mechanics had a fight out on the right wing tip, and there's a strut cracked out there, or a strut wheel cracked out there, and you better replace that. You practically have uncrackable airplanes. Why? Well, he could just simply pervade through the airplane, and he'd sort of feel around in the airplane, and he'd know what the future of the airplane was. And if it didn't have a good future, if your fellow was really good, if it didn't have a good future at all, he would merely say, you will have a good future now, airplane. Sounds crazy. But you're actually moving out from simply causation in the future to causing future. And you still have a ghost of this in witches' curses, and Earth still remembers these things, no matter how dimly they might be. They still recall them. Curses and damnations and good gifts, and you may now have three wishes, the fairy says.
sure he can give away three wishes. Any fairy can give away three wishes. So could you. But I think before you give away three wishes, I think you better be able to give yourself three wishes. And I think that would be a good thing. And it isn't necessary for you to sit down and wish hard. It isn't how hard one wishes that counts, as they teach a child. It's how lightly one wishes and how interested he is in having that for which he wished. So you see what our three wishes would amount to in terms of postulates. Well, look at no energy up there on the track, and you'll find this fellow be very light-hearted and very serene, and he could be quite intense if he were interested. If he were interested. But you can be as intense with an upper band as you can a lower band wave. You can use very light energy to accomplish enormous things. It's only with a very heavy energy that you can't accomplish a doggone thing. Just try and accomplish anything by telling somebody what to do forcefully. You do that often enough, and customarily enough, and you eventually won't get anything done. Be a much happier thing to be at the stage of the tone scale where you simply knew they would do it. Did you ever go around and say something, well, we know that you'll do that, and so on, and just leave them stuck with that? You actually laid a postulate on top of them. Well, a little bit higher than that is you just know all of a sudden, you just have a conviction in energy terms. You just know the waitress is going to walk to the other side of the dining room. She does. You kind of know here and know there, and you know this, you know that, and nothing happens. You can't get down in pitch with flows very long before you come down below that level again. Energy flows, very dangerous to use. Even communication flows. Eventually trap you and you have to bail yourself out. I'm always having to sit down and run out and pull myself up track one way or the other. Of course, I've never used any energy with which to think. The only reason I'm telling you about this, is almost, it's all extrapolated, but it's almost a new discovery, although I've been kidding about it for 2.5 years. I just put a few attention units down in the GE to find out the GE could think, and I found the GE thinking. He was thinking. I thought that was wonderful. I thought it was so cute. But if any of this stuff had to be thought about lengthily, so forth, nothing would have happened. The only place where it had to be thought about is compare it. You compare one flow to another flow, you have to kind of mock up a couple of flows and look them together. And you think about this, think about that. That's what's known as inductive thought. But you're not operating, and you can't operate, in order to investigate something, you can't operate from the basis of postulating to make it so. Because then you can't investigate it. See how silly that would be. That's just gruesome. How could you investigate anything if you were postulating all the time? In other words, it'd be impossible to find out anything by carrying on investigation, which is occasionally called scientific. See? You postulate what the conclusion will be. You'll find scientists, by the way, are hipped on this. They've still got an aberration on the subject. They're afraid to think what the conclusion will be for fear the conclusion will be that, and they will then be swayed by the conclusion. And here are these fellows with 1/16th of one grasshopper power brain cell left with which to postulate. They could make a postulate of ping pong ball, and the ping pong ball would stay right there. And go any place. And yet these fellows are very careful not to make a conclusion before they finish their experiment. They're getting away from a fear which has now become impossible. There's nothing wrong whatsoever with saying, well, the way this thing is going to work out is this way, and then mixing up the mess universe ingredients this way and that way and finding out it worked some other way. You say, well, it didn't work that way. All right, we'll postulate that this is going to work this way, and then we're going to mix all these things up together to work some other way. And you say, oh, to hell with that.
That would be sensible, because sooner or later you would come either to an apathy about the whole thing and skip it, or you'd find something which, when mixed up that way, would accomplish the result which you postulated. Well, you've given cause to the messed universe. That's what would happen. All right, well, let's look at the preclear in terms of energy, and he has decided he is an effect of everything. Let's think about this Egyptian cult. That white was cause and black was effect. And if you were half black and half white, you were all right, because then you were half cause and half effect, and you were the effect of your own cause if you were that. And if you looked at the future and found the future black, the future would be an effect. But if you looked at the future and found the future white, then the future would be cause. But that was better to have the future cause than to have the future effect. So what you tried to get was look and see a white future. How do you like that one? You had to look and see a white future. If you saw a black future, that was bad, and you should abandon that course of action immediately. If you saw a black future, what the devil are they monitoring? Well, the funny part of it is it has a workability. They've just aligned all the facsimiles which gave the experience of badness up and then hooked them up to a circuit which has a flashboard on it. And that flashboard says, black, that means these thoughts are passing through bad experience. Don't monkey with it. And a white flashboard, which simply says, these thoughts are passing through good experience, and so the chances of them taking place are very good. It's not very reliable, because it depends on an automaticity of flashboards. But if you want to do intuitive or instantaneous thinking with flows, that's the way they are rigged. You see the future is black, or you see the future is white. Recognize, for the love of Pete and yourself, you're pretty clear. If you're not seeing the future and you still know you're affected by flows, you're just trying to avoid that sight or perception in some fashion. All right, let's look this over then, and this is one of the ingredients of occlusion. They made implants in people about this one time or another, by the way. And you just turn, you don't run the implants, you just turn the future white. And you turn the future black, and you turn the future purple, and then you put some red crosses on it, and then you turn Saturday green. And then you turn these other things this way, and then shift them this way and that way, and then put the future behind your head. And let's see if you can find the present, what the sum of energy is of the deposit called the present. And that isn't out here. That's right in front of your face, practically. Or maybe it's your body. Anyway, you turn the present white, and then turn it green, and then turn it purple, and turn it yellow. And you'd probably be able to park it someplace or another by finding another present and postulating it there, who knows. And the past, as I say again, would be a very heavy deposit, because that's all composed of facsimiles. But there is a little light deposit that says we've got to think about the past. And that's the deposit accumulated of having to think hard about the past. You turn it red, and you turn it green, you turn it blue, and you turn it purple. You try to avoid seeing it, and you avoid seeing it, and you turn it orange, and you put it under the left foot. Because what is it? It's your own energy which you're holding on to, by which you're trying to estimate change of havingness in the future. A person who tries to estimate change of havingness, rate of change of havingness in the future by comparing it to the past, is going to fall flat every time. That is why law is such an interesting profession. It's because law depends almost wholly upon precedent rather than justice or chancery, anything. President, 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 president. The past is good, the past is good, the past is good, the past is good, the past is good. And of course, it moves with incredible slowness. It has enormous, heavy, massive tomes and buildings and carts. And they're the guys that practice it in terms of police and that sort of thing. They get heavy and everything is slow, and they have to stop motion and hold it and so forth. Naturally, because they're running on the principle, the precedent, the precedent, the precedent, the precedent, the precedent, the precedent. And that means the past is the measure by which we measure the future. You cannot take the laws of Holland in the year 1213 and pick them up and apply them against Holland in 1952. Cannot be done. And you can't take the laws of 1928 United States and apply them to the United States in 1952. different year. I know this comes as a shock and surprise to many of the governmental agencies, but it's not 1928. Now, being down the time track is simply trying hard to agree with the past so that the present will go all right. If you agree with past experience, then the present will go all right. And of course, that's a completely dippy one and brings about insanity, and everybody does it. Let's agree with experience and have nothing to do with the postulate. I talk quite a bit about this because it's possibly for you an analysis of what postulate processing is. It's trying to get far enough up tone, which is to say, use and be influenced by energy so slightly and be in control of it so forcefully and so heavily and be able to go up so high above any necessity to need it that one simply says, let there be light. That's your theoretical level. So you have a process in this in asking the pre-clear to find these levels and turn them red, blue, green, and pink. You'll find out you'll solve a lot of his troubles when you do that. Because all he's really interested in is what is going to happen to me. And you see, what was going to happen to him in 1913, as adjudicated by what happened to him in 1912, is not good experience to measure what happened to him in 1952, and even the experience what happened to him in 1832 has no bearing really on what happens to him in 1952, and yet we'll find him making it so. You'll find him adding this up. Let's see, in 1832 we had a cylinder of this size, and it was used for a hay mow. Now, automobiles have cylinders, and therefore I can't fix an automobile engine. And the reason for this is my father, back there in the 19th century, didn't like this thing he used in the hay mow. He couldn't handle it once it fell on the calf. And I liked the calf, so therefore automobiles are no good. A equals A equals A equals A would be a pastime n-gram kicking in because of a geometric similarity of form. That's all there is to that. Well, I've actually just beat this thing to death as far as that's concerned. I could give you an awful lot of examples of processing one way or the other, and I probably should. There's the positive and negative approach to processing. There's trying not to have the n-gram and trying to have the n-gram. There are four flows, really. There's trying not to have the n-gram and trying to have the n-gram. And there's trying to restrain oneself from not having the n-gram and trying to restrain oneself from having the n-gram, in both which cases one is trying to have the n-gram and trying not to have it. Four flows. A halt on trying to have, clear on over to a halt on trying not to have, to trying not to have. It's a gradient scale itself. Now, let's see here, Well, let's find out. Let's sit down. I'm not going to give you anything very rough. Nothing very rough. You can estimate now what your havingness is in terms of the future because of this process in terms of the present. Now, how is this going to alter your havingness in the future? It won't.
I don't think so.
That's right. That's what I figured. No change. Okay. Now let's look in front of your face there for a moment and let's see if you can see anything even vaguely resembling energy as a deposit.
Blackness. Plenty of blackness.
There's a lot of blackness there, huh? It's easy to get that?
Fairly easy.
Well, now, is that blackness past, present, or future?
Combination. Nothing was the past.
No, the blackness is past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, let's take a look there and see if we can see anything even vaguely resembling a color or a darkness and so on that might be present.
don't think I'd be able to tell the difference.
No, don't confirm these theories that way. That's not good. you realize how much a newspaper reporter would have said if we ever had him on an EV here, found out all he could think of was rape or something.
All right. Just to take hold of the cans here, and I guess we'll have to ask the little handy Jim Dandy leader. You don't have to have this mitt on there. It's a beautiful mitt. Bobby thinks that this meter will blow out. He thinks it does all sorts of things. As a matter of fact, it won't. I can't hurt one. Okay. Let's take a look, if you don't mind too much here, and find out what tone's doing. There we go. I hear a pretty good tone. Alive. Okay, what's that deposit you got there? Is that past? That present? Future? It's not the future. What about the future? Something wrong with the future?
Too many obstacles.
Too many obstacles in the future. All right. Close your eyes there for a moment. Let's look around and see the obstacles. Can you see them? Are they visible?
On a reality basis, no.
You don't see them? Well, okay. It's all right. You don't see them, you don't see them. Got it? Let's take a look at the past again.
Yeah, it's just plain murder. You sit there and look at a theta bob, and you're trying to do something else. Obvious.
You realize you've got a theta bob.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a rough deal.
Be careful not to make a postulate about it.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Too many obstacles in the future. Well, let's take a look at that blackness in front of your face there. Let's put a little ring of whiteness around it. Got a little ring of whiteness around it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, put a white dot in the center of it, too.
Okay.
All right, now turn it back black again.
All right.
Now let's see if you can turn it white, all of it.
Gray.
Gray, good enough. Now turn it back a little darker gray.
Mm-hmm.
Now a little bit lighter gray.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get it down to quite black again.
Can't get it too black.
That's all right. Just toward black. And now let's get it up the line toward a bright gray.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get it down to a dark gray. Now let's roll it up the line to a little bit more toward white than before.
Okay.
You have a feeling like you're holding that off or holding it in?
Holding it off.
You feel like you're holding it off?
Mm-hmm.
How about holding it in?
Standing still.
Standing still. Mm-hmm. You've got it in balance. All right, let's turn it to a... by the way, is there a matching one behind your head?
I don't know.
You don't see
one? No.
Okay, I just want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's see this white one in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Got that white still, or mm-hmm. grayish? You got it whiter this time?
It's fairly white.
Well, let's turn it darker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's turn it lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's put a little tinge of red in it. Get a tinge of red flickering. Let's just get
almost
a little...
not like red or something.
It's not like red.
I must not like it.
Oh, well, I don't blame you. How about getting a little tinge of green going through it?
All right.
Okay, got a little tinge of green going through it? Well, let's turn it back to white, whitishness now. Now let's turn it back to reddishness. Any tiny little flick or impression of it being red. Let's try not to get it red now.
Okay.
Did it get red? It did.
Slightly.
Oh, well, what do you know? All right, let's turn it green.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's try not to turn it red again.
All right.
And let's turn it green.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you increase the intensity of that greenness?
A little.
All right, now let's decrease it.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's decrease it way down until it turns to sort of a whitish, muddy color.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's turn it down toward black.
Right.
Well, let's turn it into a black curtain.
Okay.
Now let's turn it into a black curtain with little spots of white in it.
All right.
Now let's turn it whitish as a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's make its texture silky.
All right.
Now, let's just start taking curtains off the edge of it, or the face of it, farthest away from you, and throw them away. Just have a whole stack of curtains there in front of you, all white, white, silky curtains. And start throwing them away. What happens?
I'm peeling them, but I'm having a difficult time peeling them off.
Well, just loosen the corners this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's loosen another corner.
Okay.
Now let's loosen another corner.
All right.
And now let's install a flutter device that sort of flutters them. Make them flutter a little bit. Let's make a ripple drive. Now let's fill them full of glue. Let's make sure there's glue all through there. Good heavy glue. Let's perceive this glue. Well, let's get the feeling like it's glued.
All right.
You got the feeling about them glued on? All right, now make them glued on tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Now make them glued on much tighter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's just decrease the glueiness of them a little.
All right.
Let's increase the glueiness of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's decrease it a little more. Now let's make them good and gluey. Or really make those things sticky.
I'm having a difficult time holding the...
Well, let's try not to hold it now. Now let's hold it again. Let's get it very sticky. Now let's reach out and pull the furthest white curtain away now.
Mm-hmm.
And another one.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go and get about 15 or 20 white curtains and let's plaster them on this thing, the back of it.
All right.
Now let's stick them on there heavily. Let's get about 500 more. Plaster them all over your body. Lots of them. Oh, but the tonnage.
All over me. They're not coming toward me.
Where are they going?
Out to the left.
They're going out to the left. Well, pour them out to the left. Lots of them. Force that line. Got them going real good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's speed it up. Now, let's slow it down. Slow it down a little?
Yeah.
All right, let's speed it up a whole lot. Now, let's slow it way down and stop it. Do you get that? You get them stopped? Well, just speed them up.
It's changing again.
Huh?
It's changing.
What's changing?
I don't see the curtains.
The curtains are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Now turn that deposit black in front of your face. Got it? Real good.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's put another deposit of black on it.
All right.
And another deposit of black on it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's put much more in the way of black deposits on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's cover the whole thing with tar.
All right,
now let's wrap it around the head real tight in. So it won't get away. Can't you tie those things down on the head?
No, they stay away.
They stay away?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how far is it away from you?
About 10 or 20 feet.
Way out there. Is it all black out there?
Just a black spot.
Well, is that all?
Mm-hmm.
We'll turn it green.
Alright.
Turn it purple.
Okay.
Turn it yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you put it over about 10 feet?
Alright.
Why don't you put it up about 5 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you put it down about 10 feet?
Alright.
Why don't you put it on top of the door down below where it's been into the pocket?
Mm-hmm.
Now why don't you glue it down there?
All right.
Okay, let's put another black spot out in front of you now.
All right.
Let's put that one down on top of the door.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get another one and put that down on top of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's get a white spot out there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And put that down in front of the door.
All right.
And now let's put all of those black spots in last an hour ago. Okay, now let's be 2 feet behind your head. Okay, now let's take a look at the front of your forehead, the inside of your forehead. What do you see?
Nothing.
Nothing there. Okay, now let's put a little anchor ball out in front of you, an anchor point.
All right.
Hold it steady. Steady?
Fairly steady.
Sort of steady.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hold completely steady. Let's put one behind your back at the same time.
I don't know that I'm doing that.
Okay. Now let's take all of the nice fellows you ever knew. Got them all? You see them out there?
No.
All right, let's take a house that you've lived in.
All right.
Got that house?
Pretty well.
Okay, now let's move it over about a foot.
All right.
Let's move it back about.
Okay.
Let's turn it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn it right side up.
All right.
Put it behind your back.
All right.
Let's change it somewhat.
Put it above your head.
Okay.
Let's put it out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put about four more houses out there.
All right.
Now let's take the last one you put out there and ram it into the body you have right there. Pick it up. Put it into the body. What happens when you do that?
It's a black line in front of the houses.
It's a black line?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Put one of those houses way away from you.
All right.
Put another one way away from you.
Yeah.
Put all four away from you.
All right.
Now mark up a whole big circle of those houses. You get a circle of them around you?
Yeah, but they're floating.
They're floating? All right. Now just send them away from you.
All right.
All right, let's mark up another circle of them and send those away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now let's just mark up all around you and above you and below you houses of various descriptions, no matter how vague their detail is. Let's mark up lots of them. 360-degree sphere.
All right.
All right, let those go away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Got them?
Yeah.
Keep them going. Is there any area they don't leave from easily?
Directly in front of me.
They don't leave directly in front of you. I'll mark up four or five there and slam those into the body. What happens with those now?
I don't see them.
They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for heaven's sakes, mark up about five more out there. Turn them red.
Okay.
Turn them yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Turn them blue.
Mm-hmm.
Put them behind your back.
All right.
Put them in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Put them behind your back.
All right.
Put them underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
Put them above you. Push them all together into one house.
All right.
Now take that one house and start pulling off of it all kinds of houses, various sort of descriptions of houses. And throw them out around you. What's happening?
I know, I get an awful confusion of things now.
No, you do. We'll just keep pulling those houses out and stacking houses around you. You do that?
Yeah.
All right. Now let's just take all those houses and let them move away from you.
All right.
All right, let's mark up every dwelling in which you've lived for the last Lord knows how long, any duration of time. And walk them all up around you in all different directions. Make you nervous?
Slightly.
Or turn them all red. Turn them all blue.
All right.
Let them be any color they please.
Okay.
I'll move them all away from you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Walk up another set, similar to them. Walk them all up again.
Can't get houses anymore.
Can't get houses? Walk up one house. One little tiny house and put it on your knee. One little tiny house and put it on your knee. Got that? What's happened?
Just this big black spiraling mass in front of me, whatever it is.
Oh, don't put the house there then. Put the house up on your shoulder. Get that?
Yeah.
Got that? Well, now put two houses there on your shoulder.
I can see quite a number of them.
All right, let's get a lot of houses up there on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Got them?
Mm-hmm.
Drop them into that spiraling mass.
Mm-hmm.